loving just being together, and for simplicity, honesty, and glorifying Jesus. That's got to be a good plan, and I'm loving it. And loving doing that together. I'm really grateful for the way Johnny started earlier on this morning, and just thinking about access to Jesus. And because of the cross, he's given it to us. Access to Jesus. And then we were singing in one of those songs, just one touch from the King changes everything. That's my story. And if you know him, it's yours. Just one touch from the King, it has changed everything. And that's what he does. And what I want to do, just for a few minutes, is really pick up on this. And we're going to kind of... we're going to jump in the deep end, Harry, this morning. And I'm going to ask a simple question, really, and kind of go from here. But we're going to get into the Gospel of Matthew in a second, or we're going to just touch down there in chapter 16. But here it is, jumping in the deep end. What do you reckon, guys, is the biggest questions of life? So that's like out of my depth straight away. What are the biggest questions? And there's lots of them, aren't there? Big questions, and a lot of the kind of like well-known questions people come up with as they, at any stage probably in life, particularly maybe when we're younger, but big questions, and people ask questions like this: who am I? That's a big question. And who am I? What am I doing here? What's the point? Big questions, and they're good questions. And they need answers. These are all good and searching questions. But what I want to point to this morning is that we find that they are answered in the response to another question. Another question. And we're going to find it in Matthew chapter 16. Murray. Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to read this. And I'm going to read from verse 13, and it says this. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." And so in this little passage here, Jesus begins by asking, in a sense, this general question. And so he kind of starts, and he starts massive, and he's kind of like, who do people, who do the world, who does anybody, everybody from anywhere, who do they say that I am? And really, I want to suggest, because Jesus knew the answer to that question, but in a sense, if I could put it like this, it was a bit of a warm-up question to what was coming next. And so he's asked this big and general question, and then it's like, in a moment, he homes it right in to the specific, and he goes and he speaks to his disciples, to his followers, and he asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And this is a big question, and it's an important question, and it's a question that all of us, I think, need to have an answer to. And Peter answers, and he says, "You are the Christ." We could put that another way, different words, same thing. And he says this, Jesus is God. Wow. That's an answer to the question that is being asked. Jesus is God. The answer to this question is not just an intellectual response, but we find in this passage, it's what I'm going to call a revelation fact. Some things we can learn through reading books and through knowledge and through that kind of stuff, and it's good and it's helpful. And some things we come to see that they are true. Revelation fact. And Jesus speaks to this man in this moment, and he's like, flesh and blood, your natural capacity and ability has not made this known to you, but there is revealed to you this truth to this answer, who is Jesus? And he answers, and it's a wonderful answer, and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It comes, I think, for all of us, this revelation of the Son of God, it comes in our lives, and maybe for all of our lives, but certainly there's a beginning place where almost this revelation of the knowledge of who Jesus is and all the implications of that, it's like it's come as a growing light. It's got brighter and brighter and brighter in our awareness. And then it's some moment, sometimes, it's like the light's just been switched on and you see. And you see in a different way to ways where you've maybe recognized him, noticed him from a distance in other situations. But there can come a moment in a life where it's like someone switched the light on and you see for the first time Jesus is the Christ. And when you come to that revelation, to that awareness, to that knowledge, the implications are absolutely life-changing. And I'm grateful for that. It comes like a growing light in our lives until there is such clarity that we can declare. There is this kind of declaration from our lives, not just from our minds. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. God is working, I think, in all of our lives for an increasing revelation, the revealing of who Jesus is. That's a simple plan this morning, but it's a game changer. The increasing revealing of who Jesus is. And this is the turning point, it's the pivot point of any life, I believe. It changes our perspective on every other thing. It contains within it the answer to all those other big questions. When we settle this question, who is Jesus? And my kind of response to him. And God, I believe, is working in this way in all of our lives for the increasing revelation of his Son. Here's a quote. Listen to this. This is cool. Jesus Christ never asks anyone to define his position or to understand a creed, but who am I to you? Jesus Christ makes the whole of human destiny depend on a man's relationship to himself. Well, if Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then this quote makes sense. Because if he is God, and we believe that he is, then it is quite right that the whole of my human destiny depends on my relationship to him. I'm going to jump now and completely lost track of where we're up to with time, but we won't worry too much about that. This is John chapter 4, and I'm going to go just quite quickly, really, through this account of this lady's life. And I think it just really shows us clearly what I'm trying to point to this morning. And John chapter 4, this is a well-known kind of Bible story. And you can read through this chapter. We don't have time to do it now, but you can read it through. And we find right at the beginning of this chapter that it teaches us that Jesus has decided that he needs to go through a city of Samaria. It's kind of given us the context right at the beginning. And that's what he's going to do. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was physically wearied from his journey and was sitting by the well. So it's like an ordinary day in one sense on the surface. He's gone on a journey. He's gone through this particular place. It's hot like today. He's sitting down by the well, and he's thirsty. And this woman comes to get water from the well. And again, still, in a way, when you look at it on the surface, it just seems like an ordinary situation. But it was anything other than ordinary, because of the, if you like, the particular details of what was going on here. There's Jesus, a Jewish man. He's in Samaria. Samaritans and Jewish people were kind of like enemies. They didn't get on culturally, religiously, relationally, geographically. There was distance between these people. And yet Jesus comes and he puts himself in the way of speaking with this lady. And she's asking him, "What dealings should you be having with me?" And Jesus spoke to her, and Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is," here it is again, "if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And he kind of like turns this story around. And again, he's asking this profound question, really. And he just speaks into her life and says, "Who, if you knew who I am?" And again, this is the pivot point question. "If you knew who I am, then you would ask of me that which will satisfy you at the deepest place of your life. If you just knew who I was." And then this account of this encounter with this lady goes on from this point. And in a sense, Jesus has kind of set the scene right at the beginning, and he's asked her this question, or he's made this this kind of fact, if you like, known. "If you knew who I was, you would ask of me, and I would give to you." And then they go on. And they go on through this conversation that Jesus has. And again, we haven't got time to read it all down, but he talks to this woman. And as he talks to her and kind of is inquiring, if you like, but already with knowledge, but inquiring of this woman's life. And they move through different areas of her life. And they talk about, and you, again, you can find it, John chapter 4, but they talk about cultural context. Because both of them were in very different cultures. And Jesus speaks, he touches it in her life. So the kind of bigger frame, if you like, the bigger picture of her life, the cultural context, Jesus speaks into that. And he speaks into her religious context, her religious frame of reference, and the things that she carries in relation to her understanding and to her religion. And he speaks into that. And then, as we get further on in this encounter with this lady, he speaks to her personal context. So again, as we saw earlier, he started out big in this way, and then he hones it in on the personal and the personal response to himself. And in a sense, through this story, through this conversation, he's leading her all the time, leading her to be able to confess the answer to the greatest question, which we saw earlier in verse 10. "Who do you say that I am?" I don't know how to kind of re-emphasize this point again and again, but this is the pivot point question for all of us, and I might be speaking to the converted. but it's good, I think, to just kind of refocus in on these essentials sometimes, because this question... about the Lord Jesus and who he is impacts our response to everything else in the rest of our lives. If I respond to Jesus as God and I am able to walk through my life with him, then the reality of who he is impacts everything that I walk through. So it's a relevant question. It's a relevant question, I think, for all of us. It definitely changes my life. And in verse 24, we're just going to keep skipping down. Verse 24, and again, I'm just kind of like jumping in on this. And he says this, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth, in reality. And the woman said to him, so here it is, something's changed now. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, and he who is called Christ. It's like something's dawning. And when that one comes, he will declare or make known all things to us. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And something happens in this moment. And it kind of, in amongst this story, suddenly there's disruption in a sense, because the disciples come back. Jesus had been alone talking with this lady. The disciples come back and they're kind of amazed that Jesus is talking with this woman. And in amongst all of this, she goes away and she goes into the village, into the town. And she tells what has happened to the people in the village and in the town. And she kind of poses this question then to them. And she's like, and this is the bit I want us to hear really. She goes, having had this encounter with Jesus, and she's had this question raised from Jesus. If you knew who I am, I would give to you living water. I would satisfy the thirst which is in every man. And then later, he shows himself to her, I am the Christ. And then she goes on, and she goes to the village and to other people, and she says this, and this is a winner. She says, come and see a man. Come see a man. And that's kind of like my heart for us this morning. It's like, if there's anything to say, it's this. Come and see a man. The Christ response to him and to the reality of who he is changes everything. It changes everything. It changes our response, our outlook, our perspective. Brings peace where maybe there wasn't any. And she goes and she talks to the people in the village. And she says, come see a man. And they do. And they do. And then again, later on, down in this story, and I love this because in response to this woman, they come and they see a man. And they invite him, these Samaritan people that should have had nothing to do with him. They invite him to come and to be with them and to spend time with them and to speak to them. And then in verse 42, as this has happened, and many people within that Samaritan community had believed in Jesus because of his word. And then they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe. There is a time where it's good to kind of listen to others and to draw on others. But then you get to this moment and he says, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. We know for ourselves that this is indeed the Savior of the world. I just want to keep making this for us this morning. This is the pivot point of history. It's the pivot point of our lives. It is the thing which changes, I believe, everything. Is this recognition that Jesus is the Son of God and therefore he is the Savior of the world. Our response to him, it changes everything. Everything. And again, why is this kind of relevant to all of us this morning? And I just think it is, but because God is leading you and me in an ongoing, continuous way. God is leading you like he did with this woman to the place where our lives are a confession of the reality of the Son of God. That is to say, because we speak in different ways, don't we? We do. We use words, I know that. We use body language. We use all sorts of ways in which we communicate stuff. And it is true that our lives, they speak. They are a confession of something else. They are. And God is leading us in this way so that increasingly our lives are a confession of the life of the Lord Jesus. And this comes out of us not just in words, but in the declaration of a life. And it speaks, you, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And everything else, it seems to me, everything else. And it's just like, I encourage you, like, go away and have a little think about this. Everything else is built on this one reality. When Peter made that confession to the Lord Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus then spoke back into that. And he spoke to Peter, but he said, upon this revelation, I will build my church. On the revelation, the revealed knowledge, the revealed truth that Jesus is the Son of God, I will build. I will build my church. And nothing, the gates of hell won't be strong enough to stand against that. In terms of eternal perspective, nothing will stand against the reality that Jesus is the Son of God. And he says, upon this revelation, this knowing, this revealed truth, I will build and I will build my church. And God does that in our lives. He does that in our lives. And it begins, I want to suggest, it begins here. But we don't kind of visit this place once and then kind of like move on, like we grow up from this point. It's just like, no, this is our abiding truth, our abiding reality, the ongoing, if I can put it like this, pivot point of our lives. What makes a difference in the circumstances that we find ourselves in? The relationships that we find ourselves in, the joys that we find ourselves in, sometimes the difficulties or the confusions that we find ourselves in. If we've answered this question, who do you say that I am? And there is that response of you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That truth, that knowledge, that reality then bears out in all these other questions. It really does. And I just want to keep giving it to us, really, in a way. Because we remain in this place. He, Jesus, is our reality. Greater than any other. And I, for one, am profoundly grateful. Amen. I'm sure time has well and truly gone. But I think I'm just going to pray for us. Simple truth. But I think it's a game changer for all of us. The pivot point of our lives is our response to the Son of God. And we continue to respond to him in one way or another. But he demands a response. There is a compulsion, a compelling to respond to this claim of Christ.